The action of healing, Mark chapter 1. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Seven verses down now, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat and the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Let's pray. Lord, you are a healer. You healed many people in the first service. We welcome you here. Speak and do things in our midst that only you can do, and we will be sure that you get all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. So as Derek said, the action of healing. Point one, Jesus is a healer. When Jesus says, "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise up and walk,'" the clear answer is, it's easy to say anything. No one can prove whether he can forgive sins or not. It's easy to say your sins are forgiven because nobody can prove it. So the more difficult thing to say is to a paralyzed person, "Rise up and walk." And Jesus says, so that you know that I have authority to forgive sins, rise up and walk. And so this guy gets up and everybody is amazed. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 4:20, "The kingdom of God is not about talk. It is about power." So there are some today in America, especially, that believe, hey, the Bible has been written. We don't need miracles anymore. We don't need healing anymore. We don't need God to do things that only God can do because we've got the Bible. Folks, do you realize how ridiculous that is? The power of God testifies that this is the truth. In the middle of false Christ, false doctrines, all kinds of ideas, superstitions, how are we going to know what is true? God confirms his own word, his own gospel, with stuff that only God can do. That's how we know it is true. So Jesus, remember, Mark is a book about discipleship. It is about training us to do action. So Jesus starts out in chapter 1, healing. It happens in 2, 3, 4, 5, healing. And the disciples at this point have just watched him do healing. They see how he heals, how he prays for people, the compassion that he has. Then in chapter 6, he sends them out. Now I want you to go out, preach, cast out demons, and heal. You do this stuff. And when they come back, this is what it says, verses 12 and 13 of chapter 6. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So he did it, then he watched them do it, and then finally we get to chapter 16. Jesus is about to leave, and he says, these signs are going to follow those that believe. Not those that are apostles, not those that are special, not those that have gifts, those who believe. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Then he says that, then it says this, chapter 20, the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. God confirms his word by doing things that only he could do so that we know that it's true. In a culture of many ideas, God confirms his own word with signs and wonders. So a few weeks ago, I got a friend who has a high school friend out in Seattle that became unbelievably wealthy. And they golfed together in high school, and he invites him out for this golf trip. And so he's going to take him, it's all expenses paid, and he's going to take my buddy who goes to this church to the best golf courses in the whole Seattle area for 2 weeks. And they're just going to go golf course to golf course. $5,000 in green fees. If you can imagine spending that much money to golf. Okay, so they are on day one of this vacation. Green fees are already bought for 2 weeks. And my friend's buddy, the wealthy guy, swings and his back goes out. And he's like, I am so sorry. This whole trip is wasted. I can't golf. The last time I had this, it took 2 months to get better. And he said to him, could I pray for your back? And he's like, he's an agnostic. And he's like, I guess so. Go ahead. So he puts a hand on his back, prays for him. They don't golf the rest of that day. The friend wakes up the next morning. He's completely healed. Now, here's the funny thing about it. So they golf. Okay, remember, this guy's an agnostic. And for the next 2 weeks, at least once a day, he's like, you know, that's a miracle. A miracle happened. It messes with your theology if you're an agnostic and you get healed. It's like, I don't even know what that means anymore. I got healed supernaturally. So last week, a couple weeks ago, we had Anthony Simmons here, and Anthony's always got stories, and this had just happened in his church the previous Sunday, and he teaches on going out and the Holy Spirit, and so he's got some people really excited. So there's these two 70-year-old women in the church that go to the farmer's market in Fond du Lac, and they're hunting people to pray for. And so they come to this booth, and this lady is selling her wares, whatever it is, and she's got a boot on her foot. And they're like, would you mind if we prayed for your foot? And she's like, yeah, I don't believe in that. And here's what they said. We do. Could we pray for your foot? And my feeling is the lady with the boot is like, the only way to get rid of these people, these crazy people, is to let them pray. So she's like, go ahead, pray for me. So they pray for her. And the next Sunday, this guy comes up to Anthony and says, Pastor Anthony, I've got a testimony that we have to share. He said, I work with this guy whose wife was at the fair, and she had this boot on her foot. And when she went to the doctor the next day, they took the boot off, they did the x-ray, and she's totally healed. And so the friend says to him, what's going on in your church? What is with your church? He's like, we need to give this testimony that God healed. They were agnostics again, and God healed God is so merciful and he's so gracious. Here it is. He wants people to know that he's alive. He wants people to know that the gospel is true. All right. I want you to see the compassion of Jesus. This guy has leprosy. Leprosy in that day was incurable. No known cure. It was degenerative and it was contagious. And so if you had leprosy, it wasn't just a physical thing. It was a social thing. You couldn't be near people. You had to live in leper colonies. You had to stay unclean if anybody came near you. And so this leper has heard about the miracles of Jesus, and he says, you could do this if you wanted to. And Jesus said, I want to. And he touched this leper. And instead of Jesus catching his leprosy, the leper caught Jesus' healing. Hallelujah. Jesus has compassion on people. He feels compassion. The Old Testament, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord our healer. You don't have to beg him to be a healer. You don't have to twist his arm. You don't have to wish he was a healer. He just is a healer. It's part of who he is. So this brings us to point two, the sovereignty of God and the role of faith. Mark 6, 5 and 6, he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. So people look at this and like, what do you mean he couldn't do anything? God is sovereign. God can do anything he wants to do, including limiting himself to co-work with people's faith. God can decide, this is how I'm going to heal. There's going to be a human side. They're going to exercise faith, and then I will come through that window they open up, and when there's a lot of faith, there will be lots of miracles because I want to co-work with their faith. And so here we are in Mark chapter 5. He says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. So this is the woman with the issue of blood. Once again, this is another Levitical situation where you have to say unclean. You can't go near people. But the Bible says in 5:27 and 28 that she had heard about Jesus. She had heard about the miracles that were happening. And she started saying to herself, all I need to do is touch the hem of his garment and I will be healed. I'm sure she heard about the leper who was unclean. It's like, apparently it's not a big deal that I'm unclean because if I can touch him, I will catch his healing. And so she presses through this crowd. She touches his garment. It says this in verse 30, Jesus feels power go out of him. And he says to Peter, who touched me? And Peter says, what do you mean who touched me? Everybody's touching me. And Jesus says, somebody got something. I felt power go out of me. And he finds this woman and he says, daughter, daughter. It's the only person in the whole New Testament that he says daughter to. God knows how long she's had it. She's had it 12 years, it says in Mark. She's lost all of her money on doctors. She is hurting in every single way. And Jesus sees the shame that she's carried, the brokenness she's carried. He sees it all. And he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. So Pastor Tom, are you saying we believe that faith heals people? No, faith does not heal people. Prayer doesn't heal people. Only Jesus heals people. What faith is it's a window that opens up, that frees God. Notice, frees him, does not force him. The idea that God's a slot machine, and if we believe right and we do everything right, God has to do this, wrong. God doesn't have to do anything. It's pure mercy. Jesus, with the leper, feels compassion. With this woman, it's not Jesus's compassion. It's the Father's compassion. Jesus doesn't even know that power's going to go out of him. Jesus is just walking along, and the Father sees this woman, hears her cry, and as soon as she touches, boom, healing goes into this woman. And he says, daughter, the intimacy, daughter, your faith has healed you. So a few years ago, a woman in our church, Ellie Saboka, and I know she'll let me share this because she's let me share this testimony before. She slipped on the ice and she broke her tailbone. And it put her out of commission. She was just in pain all the time, and especially when she sat or stood, and so she'd have to be laying down, and so they had to stop coming for church for months. And then Easter Sunday comes, and she says to her husband, Tony, I want to go to church. I don't care. I don't care what the pain is. I want to go to church on Easter Sunday. So they come down here, and on her way to church, she has a vision go past her mind, and it's the woman with the issue of blood. It's this picture of her pressing through and touching Jesus and getting healed. She has this vision, so she gets to church, total pain, all the way through the service. About halfway through, her husband says, honey, let's get you home. Please, let's get you home. She says, no, I am going to get prayed for. So she comes down after the service. And she said, we used to have pews. So she's sitting in that front pew. I'm praying for people. She's waiting. I can't imagine. I knew her situation. I knew that she had a tailbone. But you know, people come in order. So I get to her. I said, Ellie, I want you to stand up. When she stood up, she was instantaneously completely healed. She didn't have the heart to tell me that she was already healed before I even prayed. Guys, prayer doesn't heal people. Faith doesn't heal people. Jesus heals people. Jesus is a healer, and he heals people. All right, faith, the role of faith, and the sovereignty of God. So sometimes God gives aids to faith. This last week we had, or at our Intimacy with God, Anthony preached on Thursday, and he gave some words of knowledge. He gave four words of knowledge before he preached. These are a spiritual gift where God tells people information about people, about things God wants to do. And so one of them was, there's somebody here with an autoimmune disease, and you are being healed right now. And so this is a word of knowledge, and a word of knowledge aids people to believe. It aids people that something is happening. And so this precious woman, she was in the first service, when Anthony says, you are being healed right now, she starts sweating. She doesn't hear another word Anthony preaches. Anthony has a whole message. She doesn't hear a word because she is sweating profusely. It goes all the way through her body. This sweat goes all the way down. She comes up afterwards to tell Anthony what's going on. And this other woman from the church comes up and says, I don't know what's going on with you. God's highlighted you this whole service. Here's what he says. You're healed. And she's been healed from that day since to this day. It is not medically confirmed yet, but we're waiting for that, and so that will come. I want to tell you about a woman that was here at the Tuesday night. We had our healing team did a Tuesday night, and they prayed for people. And this woman has a pelvis that is brittle and weak, and she can't stand for more than 20 minutes because of the pain that comes. And when they were praying for her, she felt heat go through her, and she felt that she was healed. When heat comes, it's an aid for you to believe. It's not faith, but it helps us to believe when something is happening. And so she believes she's healed. And so she goes to meetings. She's at one meeting where she stands up for 2 hours straight, no pain. So she starts telling everybody at work that she's healed. She starts telling everybody, Jesus healed me. This happened at work. So Friday night of the conference, I speak on the song in the night, and she comes up for prayer. I'd never seen her before, and she comes up and she tells me the whole story of her healing, and then says the symptoms came back this morning. She said, I think that I've been proud. I think I've been entitled. And I said, honey, you did not heal yourself for starters. Jesus healed you. The enemy is a thief, and he's trying to take this from you. I said, we're going to pray again right now, and God's going to heal you again. And this time, you stand for your healing. This will not be stolen from you. So I pray a short prayer. Chris Gore taught us for healing, pray short prayers. Sometimes we pray past the miracle. Sometimes we are thinking it's our prayer. And if we pray the good enough prayer that somebody will get healed, and we pray ourselves right out of the miracle. Jesus is the healer. Doesn't take long prayers, just short prayers. Jesus, and so I pray a short prayer over her. She leaves. I don't think anything about it until Sunday morning. I'm greeting out at the front, and she's waiting for me, and I know she's familiar. Please forgive me when I don't recognize you, because I see a lot of people, and she's vaguely familiar to me, but I'm not sure what she's waiting for. But she comes out. She says, "I'm the one that you prayed for Friday night." And she said, "I just thought you should know I got healed again Friday night, and I'm keeping my healing this time." God co-works with faith. So there was a lady in the 60s and 70s named Catherine Kuhlman. She had powerful healing ministry, really everywhere. And she wrote a book called I Believe in Miracles. And it's just 12 testimonies of supernatural miracles that are just testimonies. They're almost all of them are non-Christians. But they, as I'm reading through this book, I'm noticing something. Every story begins with, "I came into the hall and there was something in the air." Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It's about this same story, about the letting down of this guy that is paralyzed. And here's what Luke did, eyewitnesses. He got eyewitnesses of every story. And here's what it says. "The power of the Lord was present to heal." People said, "We knew something was going to happen. We could feel it. We could feel it in the air." And that's these Catherine Kuhlman testimonies. They all start with, they come in there hopeless. They come in, and all of a sudden, because of the presence, it's like anything could happen right now. God's in the house. God's in the house. Feeling the presence of God is an aid to faith. Heat is an aid to faith. A word of knowledge is an aid to faith. It is to help us believe. How many know in America, especially the land of the rational and the scientific, we need help believing. So God will give aids to our faith. Okay, last point. The kingdom now and not yet. So when Jesus was on earth, the kingdom was fully here. Five times it says that Jesus healed everybody that came to him. There was no one he sent away. There was no one that said, "Not you. Your case is too hard. You've been too bad." Jesus healed everyone that came. Five times he healed everybody. The kingdom was fully here when Jesus, and when the kingdom is fully here again, everybody will be healed. Every tear will be wiped away. There will be no more pain, no more suffering when the kingdom is fully here. But Jesus said, "You're not going to fast now because the bridegroom is here. But when the bridegroom leaves, you are going to mourn his absence, and then you will fast." So the kingdom is now, and it's not yet. What does that mean? So Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite theologians, here's what he says. In communion, we both celebrate God's presence, and we remember his absence. In communion, we celebrate God's presence. We celebrate every evidence of grace, every miracle that we've seen, every breakthrough that has happened. We celebrate every person that's been saved, everything that we've seen God do in the midst of our brokenness. We celebrate because he is present. And we also remember, the Lord's death until he comes. We remember also during communion, everybody that's not healed, every injustice that still exists on this planet, every broken heart all over the world, and we long for the bridegroom to come again. We remember his absence, and it creates this longing for his return, the longing for when the kingdom of God is going to fully come. Now, some teach the kingdom is fully here. It's always God's will to heal everybody right now. And if God doesn't heal everybody right now, that it's all because we did something wrong. And it's just not true, folks. It's not true. And when you embrace that type of theology, you create disillusionment and disappointment in people again and again, because this is what God said. Listen, there is a guarantee that God has made for the body. What's happened is some people have said, because Paul says that the new covenant is built on better promises than the old covenant. And so what they've said is the old covenant promised healing, that God's a healer. And so the promise of the new covenant is even better. It's divine health. If you walk with God, you will have divine health. You will be healthy right till the day you die. And then God will take you without you ever getting sick or ever breaking down. That is the better promise in the new covenant. No, there is a better promise in the new covenant for the body. But it's not divine health. It's resurrection. It's that your body will be one day resurrected. You will get a new body that will be an eternal body, that will never get sick, that will never die, will never wear out. It will last forever. This is the promise of the new covenant, resurrected bodies. So here's a cool verse so that we can think about what healing is right now. So look at this. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Our mortal bodies, that's the one that's alive right now. The spirit of God, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, will give your mortal body life or healing now. Has anybody ever seen a preview of a movie? Because you know when you're watching previews, this isn't the movie. This is a preview of what's in the movie. And oftentimes, Alice, when we see the previews, they give away too much. Alice's like, we don't need to see that movie. They gave away too much. And sometimes the preview is, they give the funniest line they have in the preview. And it's like, that's not going to be a funny movie. If that's all they've got, not going to work. We're not going to see that movie. Saves you a lot of money to watch previews. Anyway, so divine healing now is a preview of Jesus' power to resurrect us one day. Every time he heals, every time he quickens our mortal bodies now, it's a preview of his resurrection power. He is the first fruits of those that will be resurrected. Because Jesus rose, all of us will rise one day. And every time God heals somebody now, and the kingdom comes that way, it's a sign that the resurrection is going to happen. It's a preview of the resurrection that will happen on the last day. Hallelujah. All right. But sometimes healing comes now in this time, and the fullness of the kingdom is expressed. Just, we get a little touch of the fullness. It happened in Peter's ministry. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Ananias and Sapphira have just died, and but the presence of God is very, very strong. And the Bible says that anybody who just got in Peter's shadow got healed. And so they started bringing out all the sick into the street. And then it says this, verse 16, all of them were healed. That's the kingdom of God now fully manifesting on earth. Wow. Happens again, Acts chapter 28. Paul finds out that Publius, the dad of the mayor of the, or the governor of the city, is on his deathbed. He goes into the tent. He prays for him. He's miraculously healed. And when the people on the island hear about this healing, they bring all of their sick to Paul, and God heals every one of them. Now, I have had one time in my entire ministry where I've seen everybody healed. It was in Mumbai, India. We were there to do pastors' conferences across India, but the first Sunday we were there, we were just in a local church, and it was an orphanage church. There's probably 150 people in this church, and they asked me to preach, and I get there, and I'm like, kids are in the main service, and I'm like, is this even a good sermon for kids? I don't even know if this is right, but there I am, and so I go ahead and preach what I have, which was on the one thing. It's about seeking God first, not what he can do for you, but who he is in himself. And I get done preaching, and the pastor comes up, and he says, what the pastor preached, this is all through interpreters, what the pastor's preached has touched my heart. I'm going to ask the pastor to pray for me, and then I'm encouraging you to come and have the pastor pray for you. And so I ask each person what they would like prayer for. This is the poorest of the poor. Not a single person asked for what God might do for them. It's always about, I want to know Jesus more. I want to see his face. I choose the one thing. And so I'm praying for about an hour, and there's a whisper in my spirit. God says, I want to heal the sick. And so I go to the pastor. I said, God says he wants to heal the sick. Tell the sick to come forward. So I will never forget this. This woman comes up, and through the interpreter, I ask her where the pain is. The pain is everywhere. And what is the number, 1 to 10? And she says, it's 10. And I'm familiar with fibromyalgia. This is what it sounds like, where the pain is just everywhere. It's not one place, it's everywhere, and it's horrible. And she's living with it. And I'm like, okay. And so I lay a hand on her head. I pray a very short prayer of healing. Be healed in Jesus' name. Pain go, healing come in Jesus' name. And I'm praying for her, and I get done praying. She turns around and starts walking away. I'm like, hey. She turns around. I'm like, this is all through interpreters. Where are you going? She said, I'm healed. And I'm like, no. What do you mean? Do you mean your pain is less than it was? She says, no, I am in, look. And she starts going around. She said, I'm completely healed. So when she's saying that, I have never had this happen before or since. My hands are on fire. And I said to the pastor, I said, Pastor, tell the people my hands are on fire. God wants to heal the sick. And so they start coming. And folks, I pray for people for the next hour. Every single person had all of their symptoms leave immediately. Everyone. I would just pray the shortest prayers. Healed, 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 healed. God can do it. God can do it. He's a merciful God. So the greatest healing is not physical healing. The greatest healing is when your relationship with God is healed. There's only one commentary on Isaiah 53:5 in the New Testament, and this is what it is. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus died on that cross to atone for sin. And by his stripes, our relationship with God can be healed. Not only forgiveness, but power to no longer be straying from God.